Good evening, everybody. Unfortunately, as we all know, there is a terrible situation going on in Eretz Yisrael. We're in the middle of an incredible milchama, to which we've seen tremendous Yata Deshmaya thus far, and we're mispalo that we continue to see that Benasati Shalom Ba'aretz, that ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam will grant Shalom for Eretz Yisrael and for all of Klal Yisrael. So along those lines, just to speak a little bit in Yana Diyoma perhaps, there is a very fascinating Shaila that comes up, and that is when we talk about putting together a army, putting together a tzava, are you allowed to enlist, or you're allowed to enroll Kohanim or Leviim into the army? So this is a very interesting question. If you look in the Rambam tells us in the end of Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel, the second half of this Rambam has become very famous, but the first half sometimes gets thrown by the wayside and we don't actually pay attention to it. So says the Rambam as follows, why is it that Shevet Levi, meaning Kohanim and Leviim, were not a part of the Chalukas Eretz Yisrael? Says the Rambam, Mipnei Shehuvda Labades Hashem, because they were set aside to be Eved Hashem, to be involved only in learning. The job of the Kohanim and Leviim is to be the Morei Derech. The job of the Kohanim and Leviim is to paskin all the Shailos, to be the Rabbanim. And therefore, we don't generally take them into the army. Therefore, we don't generally include them into the Nachlas Ha'aretz. Shenemar, Yoru Mishpatecha LeYaakov V'Sarascha LeYisrael. Lefikach. Therefore, says the Rambam, Huvdulu Midarchei Ha'olam. They're separate. They're completely separated from everything that goes on in the world. Lo Archa Mochama Kishai Yisrael. They're not part of the regular Gius Tzava that we normally have when we enlist soldiers into the army. V'lo Nochalim V'lo Zochan La'atzman V'koch Gufan. Elohim Chel Hashem. They are called the Tzivus Hashem. They are called the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shanemar Baruch Hashem Chelo. So that's what the Rambam tells us, that the Kohanim and Leviim are not to enlist into the army. There's a question if the Mordechai says the same thing as well in Maseches Gittin in the end of Perek Misha Achzu. The Acharonim have a big machlokes, does the Mordechai actually say it or not? But be it as it may, the Rambam certainly has this very clearly, black and white, that Kohanim and Leviim are not to enlist into the army. This isn't only relevant regarding the sugya of Kohanim entering the army, it really has an interesting afkamina la'alacha, which plays out in a different context entirely. The Sefer Achinuch writes, it's a famous Sefer Achinuch, when he talks about the mitzvah of Zechiros Maisa Amalek. So we know that we have a chiv once a year, we're mekayim our chiv to be Zochar Maisa Amalek. Why do we only do it once a year? Pashtos, we should really do it every day. So we assume that Shikcha only comes after 12 months. So therefore, if you do it once a year, since the Pasuk says Al Tishkach, you can't forget. So that's why we do it once a year. And we're koveya to do that before Purim. There's actually an interesting Rabbi Kivager in Yeredeya when he talks about putting a matzeva up by a grave in a Beis HaKvaris. Rabbi Kivager quotes two minhagim. Do you put up the matzeva before the 12 months comes, before the yard site, or do you put the matzeva up immediately after the yard site? What are the 2 days? Rabbi Kivager explains, because the point of the matzeva is that we shouldn't forget who the nifter was. So within 12 months, says Rabbi Kivager, we don't forget him. So what's the point of putting it up within 12 months? We should put it up directly after the 12 months are over, once we begin to forget. And the second day, Rabbi Kivager says, no, we should put it up while we remember, because if we wait till after the 12 months, we're already going to forget about it. So we make sure to put it up in between. So that's an interesting place where this plays out as well. 12 months is generally the assumed time for a person to forget. So we know that the halacha is that once a year we lay in Parsha Zachar, in order that we should be mekayim the Schiv Daraisa. So says the Sefer Achinuch, a big chiddush, which all the Acharonim disagree with, but the Sefer Achinuch, which quotes Rishonim, writes like this, Nitzdavinu Lizkar Masha Asa Amalek LeYisrael. We have a mitzvah to be reminded of what Amalek did to us, that Amalek came and picked a fight. O mitzvah zu noheges b'chol makom u'b'chol zman, says the Sefer Achinuch, this mitzvah applies in all generations of b'chol zman. It's not a mitzvah tlis b'aretz, it's a mitzvah that's nogeya even in chutz la'aretz. And then he sticks in b'zecharet. It's only a chiv for the male participants of Klal Yisrael. Ki lahem lasos hamachama v'nekama ba'oyev v'lo l'nashim. Says the Sefer Achinuch, because only the men have the mitzvah of waging war, and the women do not. What does that have to do with anything? We have a separate chiv that says that you have to make sure, Zachar es asher asa l'cha amalek. What does that have to do with waging war? So the pashlus is that the Sefer Achinuch means from the fact that it says in the beginning of the pasuk, Zachar al tishkach es asher asa l'cha amalek. Remember the war that you battled out with Amalek. So who is involved in the war? The Gemara says in Kiddushin, Daf Beis, Sanhedrin, Samachay, the Gemara tells them in both places that Ein Darko Shalisha Lichbosh, the minig of a woman is not to be part of a melchama. Women don't generally fight wars, only the men fight the war. So the Sefer HaChinuch understands this to mean that since the men were the only ones who were involved in the war, therefore they're the only ones who have the chiyuv at the end of the pasuk of Zechar al Tishkach. But for the women who are not involved in the melchama at all, they are not mechuyev to be involved in this chiyuv, in this mitzvah of remembering the Maisa of Amalek. That's the chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch, and many Achronim disagree with him. The Menchas Chinuch famously disagrees. Many others pick up on it as well. However, the Binyan Shlomo, Rabbi Shlomo Levilna has in his tshuvas, he picks up on this chiddush of the Sefer HaChinuch and he takes it one step further. He says the same way the Sefer HaChinuch says that a woman is not mechuyev in Parshas Amalek because she doesn't fight wars, so too says the Binyan Shlomo, Kohanim and Levim are also not mechuyev. Why? Because we just said, the Rambam writes, that Kohanim and Levim are not mechuyev to be giyus tzava, they're not mechuyev to go and enlist and roll into the army. So since they're not part of the Muhammad, they're not mechuyev in the Zechiras Maisa Amalek either. A tremendous chiddush of Reb Shlomo Vilna that sounds like it makes a lot of sense. How can you disagree with what Reb Shlomo Vilna is saying? If you assume what the Chinuch writes is correct, that Nashim are pturis from Zechiras Maisa Amalek, so to Kohanim and Levim should be as well. So it's not so simple. Why? Because we find a similar parallel case in Brachas Tav Chav. The Gemara in Brachas Tav Chav has a suffix: are women chayiv in Birchas HaMazon, Daraisa, or Darabanan? We know that women have to bench. The question is, do they have to bench on a level of Daraisa, or do they have to bench on a level of Darabanan? What's the difference? The Gemara says the difference is, let's say you have a man who's mechuyev to bench and he doesn't know the words, and you have a woman who's sitting and eating with him, can she be motzi the man? So we know that you have to be on the same level of chiyev in order to be motzi someone else. So if she's only chayiv in derabanan and then the man is chayiv daraisa, then she can't be motzi. If she's chayiv daraisa as well, then she can be motzi the husband, she can be motzi the man. Be it as it may, the Gemara has the suffix. Why would you say that a woman is not chayiv in benching daraisa? Where does it say only for men? So Rashi explains over there, because we know that the pasuk says, in the middle of benching we say, that part of benching is you have to recite the great bracha of Eretz Yisrael, and nashim ein notlos chelek ba'aretz. The women don't have a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, because the women are not part of the melchama. So therefore, Rashi says, that's the explanation why the Gemara would have assumed that nashim are only chayv in birchas hamazon midirabanan. That's what the Gemara says in brachas tav chav. So Tosis asks Akashi, he says, so you should say Kohanim and Levim also don't have to bench? What? Oh, so B'nos Slavcha, what do you say? So Tosis has the Kasha, so he says, no, B'nos Slavcha, even though they were Notel Chelek Ba'aretz, says Tosis Kasha, he says, really, it wasn't their Chelek, it was just their father. So still, Nashim are not really Notel Chelek Ba'aretz. So Tosis has a better Kasha, he says, if you're going to say that Nashim are not Chayiv, then you should say Kohanim and Levim also not Chayiv. How can you say such a thing? And in fact, if you look in the Rashba takes it a step further, he says, so you should say that Gerim and Avadim also are not chayiv to bench? Because a Ger, you can't say he has a chelek in Eretz Yisrael, he's not part of any shevet. A Ger is a separate entity on his own. An Eved is also not part of a shevet. So says the Rashba, you should say along the lines of what Tosis says, the same way the Gemara says, Nashim are not chayiv in benching, because they don't have a chelek ba'aretz. So Tosis adds on and he says, Kohanim and Levim also should not. The Rashba adds on and he says, Avadim and Gerim also not. So how are you going to answer this kasha? So the Rashba over there says no. It's a little bit of a dachistic answer. It's a fine point, but it's important to pay attention to. The Rashba says as follows: Zok the Rashba, shiny gerim va'avadim shehem zecharim, u'zecharim not luchelik ba'aretz. The Rashba makes a fine distinction here. Says the Rashba, men are within the parsha of being not luchelik ba'aretz. Some men happen to have a ptur, but they're within the framework of having a chelik ba'aretz. Women are completely mufka from the whole parsha. And therefore the Rashba is mechalik, there's a major difference between men and perhaps Kohanim and Levim, even though Kohanim and Levim, you should have said, following the Gemara's logic, you should have said that Kohanim and Levim are completely excluded from Birchas HaMazon, just like Nashim. Says the Rashba, no, there's a difference between the exclusion of Kohanim and Levim and perhaps Avadim and Gerim on the one hand, and on the other hand we have Nashim, which really are excluded from the entire mitzvah of Yishuv Aretz, and the mitzvah of going to Mechama. So based along that logic of the what the Rashba says, perhaps you can take that back and explain the taina of Reb Shlomo Levilna as well. Reb Shlomo Levilna wanted to extend the chiddush of the chinuch, and he said the same way the chinuch says that Nashim are not chayiv in the mitzvah of Zechiras Maisa Amalek, says Reb Shlomo Levilna, then Kohanim and Levim should also not be, because Kohanim and Levim don't go to the army. So Nashim, who don't go to the army, are pater from Zechiras Maisa Amalek, so too Kohanim and Levim, but it's not so simple. because perhaps you can argue that there's a major difference between Kohanim and Leviim, who at least are men, and men are part of the overall discussion of Chelek Ba'aretz, they're part of the overall discussion of going to the army, these men might have a p'tur, but women are completely mufka from the whole parsha. So this is a very interesting chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam tells us that Kohanim and Leviim do not go to the army. The problem is, there's at least two Gemaras that seem to be completely against what the Rambam says. And one of those Gemaras is the following. What? Right. So the Gemara says in Soita, very good. The Gemara says in Soita, Perek Mashuach Mochama, Daf Mem Dalet, the Gemara has a whole group of people who are not mechuyev to go to war. We stand on the front lines and we say, this person can go home, that one can go home. And the Gemara over there says, somebody who recently got married gets to go home. Says the Gemara, what if you have a Kohen Gadol who marries an Almana? Or you have a Kohen Hedyot who marries a Grusha v'Chalutza? Right? They're involved in marriages that they're not allowed to be involved. So do you say that I'm in the middle of Shevet Brachos? You married someone who's Usser? It doesn't matter, but I'm still in the middle of Shevet Brachos, I should go home. Says the Gemara, no. We learn from a Pasuk, if you're married to somebody be'isser, you don't get to go home. It's as if you're single. That's what the Gemara says over there. So the Acharonim ask a kasha on the Rambam. I don't understand. Why is the Kohen on the front lines in the first place? If the Rambam tells us that a Kohen never goes to Melchama, if the Rambam says that you're never allowed to take a Kohen into the army in the first place, so why do we need a Pasuk to say that if a Kohen marries someone be'isser and he shows up on the front lines, we're not going to let him go home? He's not supposed to be there in the first place. So that's kasha number one. Kasha number two is the Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Chaf Aleph, a very interesting Gemara where we talk about the Heter of Yefas Tayer. So the Gemara there talks about, it's interesting that the Torah, Dibra Torah, Kenegedei Tzarah, that's what the Gemara tells us, that the Torah understands what our shortcomings are, the Torah understands that people have Taivus, so the Gemara says that we have a Heter of Yefas Tayer. There's a soldier who feels that he needs to let out his Taivus, so he's allowed to take a Yefas Tayer and be Mezana with her, even though there's no Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Ask the Gemara an interesting question. Kohen mahu b'yefas tayah. What's the shaila? Let's say you have a Kohen who's a soldier in the army, and he wants to know, is he also allowed to go and be mezana with this yefas tayah? Why not? Why should he be any less than anyone else? The Gemara says, well, a Kohen has many more mitzvahs than the rest of us. So perhaps you should say, a Kohen who's a much more kaddish-dika person, a Kohen who has many more mitzvahs, perhaps you should argue, we're not going to allow him to defile himself and go be mezana with the yefas tayah. Maybe that halacha is only said for Yisrael. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. The kasha is, what's a Kohen doing on the battlefield in the first place? If the Rambam says a Kohen is not allowed to be enlisted into the army, then how does the Gemara have this whole shaila about Kohen mayu b'yefas tayer? How do you explain that Gemara?
How about Kohen Devar Divri is the other Gizma Shifa Kedanis?
Yeah.
Devar Divri, that's a Kohen, so the other can give him a Shifa Kedanis.
Okay.
So therefore...
That's not the parsha of b'yefas tayer.
No, but it's another pasuk, another issue there.
Okay. Meaning, so you're just asking on that Gemara and Kiddushin, right. Perhaps we should extend it to other dinim as well. Okay, the Gemara has it. The Gemara has it in Yevamos as well. Sometimes we have halachos where the Kohanim have many more restrictions than the rest of us. Perhaps we should be more machmer on Kohanim in many different areas of halacha. Be it as it may, how do you explain this Rambam? So the Brisker Rav discusses this in the last parak in Sota, in parak Mashulach Mechama. Says the Biskarov, what you have to say is that all the Rambam means is that we have to prioritize. If we only need 100 soldiers, and a Kohen comes forth, we're going to tell him, hey, we have enough soldiers, there's no reason to take you, you're supposed to be learning in the Kollel, you shouldn't be wasting your time coming to the army. However, let's say we realize that we need 5,000 soldiers, and we don't have enough people who are coming. So it's not that there's an Isser to take a Kohen into the army, it's just that we prioritize, says the Biskarov. We prioritize and we say, if we have a choice to take somebody else, why should we pull him away from doing what he's doing? Let him continue to do what he's doing, let him continue to paskin the shailas, and the rest of Klal Yisrael will fill in what needs to be done in the army. But obviously there's no Isser involved in that. Just to close with one interesting point, the Das Akenim Bale Atosis and some other Rishonim have a very interesting insight on last week's parsha, and they ask, how is it that Pinchas was allowed to go ahead and kill Zimri? Pinchas, we know, was given the kahuna. The Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kofalap has a machlokes. When was he given the kahuna? Was it before he killed Zimri or after? But if you assume that he got the kahuna before he killed Zimri, half the Tanoim and the Gemara assume that way. Right, so how is he allowed to go ahead and do it? He was metami lemeis. How is he allowed to do it? So the Rishonim asked this kasha on Chumash. It's an interesting question. Just something for people to think about. I see we're over our time. But how was Pinchas, if you assume Like the Gemara says, some Tanaim assume that Pinchas was already a Kohen before he killed Zimri. It's not that the kahuna was given to him as a gift because he was a Kanoi. If you assume Pinchas already got the kahuna beforehand, how was he allowed to go ahead and take a weapon and kill Zimri if that was going to be Metamehim? Just something for everybody to think about.